Welcome back, friends. So we're going to encounter some other sources, and unless we'll just... The next one will be Jordan Amon's, Father Amon's, Spiritual Theology, Bloomsbury. And I have, a footnote or where to find it. He does an excellent job of helping us to understand our principal sins, our character, and that sort of thing. So, extremely brief overview. So, no souls are alike, and thus their journey, the soul's journey to perfection, will vary, and uniquely so. However, classically, there are some observations that help the individual to live a holy life. Being self-aware of our personality and character, which is the basic elements of personhood, helps us to cooperate with the sanctifying grace to the best of our ability. Our free will, the most sublime of God's gift to us, instead of leaving us in a realm of blind determinism, allows us the means to journey towards Him. Classically, there are four temperaments, which are physiologically based and considered immutable. And each of these temperaments have both good and bad, good qualities and also predispositions to evil. The four temperaments are a sanguine temperament. These souls usually have a serene view of life. They react quickly and strongly to almost any stimulation or impression, but the reaction is of short duration. Two, melancholic. Weak, their temperament is weak as regards to stimulus. They're difficult to arouse to do something. However, after repeated impressions, the reaction is strong and lasting and does not easily forget. There's a choleric temperament. Three, easily and strongly aroused, and the impression lasts a long time. This temperament produces the greatest saints and sinners. If the sinners don't have a strong grasp of Christian virtue. And then the phlegmatic temperament, they are rarely aroused emotionally, and if so, weakly. The impressions received usually last for only a short time and leave no trace. Character. That is, it is defined as an organized totality of the tendencies and predispositions of an individual grouped around and directed by a predominant tendency. So it is psychological and ethical. Character gives formal distinction to personality. So we can think of it as matter and form. We can think of it as nature and nurture, depending on the point of view, that which is inherent, that which forms from the exterior. Temperaments that's what you're given. That would be your matter or your nature. And then the character is the, let's say, the family situation. There's your nurture. There's the environment that you're growing up in. All right. Character development makes use of here comes the sublime gift of free will. The character makes use of personal effort or free will, and it is by far the most important factor in the formation of character. So potent an instrument free will is that it can modify, correct, or nullify the effects of education and environment. And I'll stop with this and let you... We are masters of ourselves by means of free will. We are responsible for the formation of our character by repeated acts which form habits. One can say that our temperaments are what our ancestors gave to us, whether we're phlegmatic or choleric or so forth. But our character is that which we have made ourselves. It is the moral aspect of our character being good or evil, depending on the virtues or vices that predominate.
One of the things that I think is always going to be a problem, right? When you're bringing these two things together and you're talking about matter and form, which is a very, very Catholic mindset, right? That, and really goes back. I mean, it's not only Catholic, it's classical. It really, there is that Aristotelian idea of matter and form coming together to create the whole. And I think one of the problems that we're dealing with now is that there's always a rupture between those two things. There's always going to be a tendency to blame everything on where you came from, right? Or, you know, oh, you know, I'm a drunk because my father was a drunk or whatever, right? I mean, like to say that these things, these predispositions, you know, I'm overweight because everyone in my family was overweight going back to the dawn of time. All of these things where you just then resign yourself to being just a bundle of matter that has been presented to you, and you become resigned to an inability to engage with the matter through any type of form, you know, which could take the appearance of exercise. It could take the appearance of educating yourself. It could be under the appearance of controlling your tongue, right? Not saying every thought that enters your head, right? I mean, all of these things, you know, so we have this problem where we're always trying to put these two things at rupture or in opposition to one another, when the reality is we have to know and recognize, like you said, these gifts that have been given to us, these temperaments with which God created us. We should understand them and our innate tendencies towards certain things, but they can't become the crutch. They can't become the excuse for a life of sin, right? I mean, the choleric person, like you said, okay, if I just say that I'm a melancholic choleric, you know, that I'm going to blow off the handle at everything and I'm never going to forget, right? I'm always going to be angry. And so consequently, you can see that somebody who simply, I don't know, presents himself as that matter and doesn't engage with either the positive elements of those two temperaments, right, moving themselves away from the vicious side of those temperaments through character formation to the positive forms of both melancholic or choleric or phlegmatic and sanguine, moving from the vicious side to the virtuous side, you know, you really just then become animal, right, which is not what you are, or mineral, I guess. I mean, if everything is going to come down to the composition of your biology. No, we can't have these two things be in opposition to one another. We must be uniting them prayerfully, thoughtfully, and engaging with them in that process, like that you articulated as the formation of the character, right? Coming, bringing it into form. Matter, you know, water is matter, right? But it will take whatever form the container that you put it into. And that's kind of the same thing with ourselves. We have to kind of recognize that there are certain temperaments that we've been given, but those temperaments are going to take the form, whatever form we put them into. And they're malleable as long as we're engaging with them positively, as opposed to just suffering them, you know, as it were.
Yes, I think we're going to pick up on this in the next episode. Till then, my friends, fide Sedratio.